This is part five of an in-depth study on love. Today's title of number five is Rooted Deep in Love. Let's start off with prayer. Father, we thank you today for this time in the Word. We thank you for the opportunity that we have to come before your throne, Lord. You are awesome. There is no word that can adequately describe the depths of who you are, other than love himself. And Father, we thank you for the depths of that love. We thank you for the honor that we have today of studying your word and receiving the seed and the harvest that will come forth for it. We give you praise for it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to get right into the word today. I got a lot of ground to cover, and this is an awesome subject. Today, in and of itself, is a series. But we're going to be talking today about rooted deep in love or established in love. What does a root do? When you think of a root, you normally think of something that's underground, which is right, but a root is vital to any plant. A root supplies nourishment, supplies strength, supplies stability to the plant. And the root develops first. Have you ever thought of that? You can put a seed in the ground or put something in the water, a little bit of water on the table there or whatever, and lay a seed in it. It immediately starts to grow. But that root, that seed, does not grow up first and then develop roots. Root system develops first.
Yeah.
And they always spread out and down. They do that way before you see an actual plant. Something starts immediately when that seed hits the ground. So today we're going to look at the root and at the soil, because it's important that we understand how this works. There are several places in the scripture that talks about being rooted deep or established. You know, most of us have a surface relationship with each other, just a surface relationship with the Lord, and we don't realize we're doing that. We don't realize that maybe I'm not as deeply rooted as I need to be. Maybe I'm not in deep enough to receive what the Lord has for me. Mm. We need to be rooted deep in love, rooted deep in faith, and rooted deep in the Word.
Wow.
And we'll see different scriptures throughout the Bible talking about that. We're going to start in Jeremiah chapter 17, and I'll be using the Amplified Classic for the most part, but some New King James as we go through this. Jeremiah 17, verse 7, Amplified Classic, says, "Most blessed." Now, I like that word "most" in the Amplified, because you can be blessed, and then you can be most blessed. Most blessed, I like that one, because you're really, really, really blessed. "Most blessed is the man who believes in, trusts in, relies on the Lord, and whose hope and confidence the Lord is." Now let's read that again. "Most blessed is the man who believes in, who trusts in, who relies on the Lord, and whose hope and confidence the Lord is." Do you believe in? Now, the word "believe in" means you are established. You have a relationship here. You believe in or believe God. You trust Him. Do you? When you go through the storms of life, do you genuinely, honestly trust in Him or trust His Word? If you do, why do we worry so much?
Right.
You need to ask yourself these questions and be honest with yourself and be honest with God. You can develop trust in God. You can develop your belief in God. And you can develop relying on God. But if you believe in Him and you trust Him, then it falls right in line that you will rely on Him. If you're not relying on the Lord, then you really don't believe Him and you really don't trust Him, at least to the degree that you think you do. When the problems and issues come in life, where do you go first? We needed to be rooted deep in God, deep in love. Then verse 8 says, "For." So that's related to this person that believes in, trusts in, hopes in, and has hope and confidence in God. verse 8 is related to that. For he shall. Now, shall is a definite, right? It's an absolute. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when heat comes, but its leaf will be green, and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor cease from yielding fruit. I really like that. I really like it. Think about this big old tree out there. It's been out there for 100 years. And you see this a lot in the desert. They're called oases. Mm-hmm. There will be nothing around for hundreds of miles maybe, but out in the middle of this desert, there's an oasis. An oasis. Why is it there? Because there's water there.
Yeah.
Because there's water there to activate the soil. Just because there's sand everywhere doesn't mean there's not some soil there that has nutrients in it that can support a plant or support something. So there's an oasis there. Well, those trees, when they grow up, what do they do? What does the roots do? They go down and they keep going down until they tap into water. And when the water gets less and less, they keep going down. But what do they also do? They go towards the water. The ones that don't go down, that go outward from that seed, they go towards the water. They're drawn to the water. The water is a type and a kind of the Holy Spirit. We are drawn to the Holy Spirit. We're drawn, matter of fact, we're washed by the washing of the water by the Word. So we see there that it's a type and kind. So our seed that we plant in our soil works and moves towards that water, but it's also going down. The ones that go down are doing a certain job, and the ones that go out. Now, if you go deep enough in that sand in the desert, you're going to find soil there. There will be soil there somewhere, and it won't be sand. Now, that sand, I don't know how it got there. It got there from droughts and things like that. But there is soil, you go down deep enough. And that's what those roots are doing. They're going down. They're going down to the soil. They've got to have those nutrients. Well, we need to go down deep, deep, deep in love, deep in faith, deep in the Word. And that's what we're going to study today, being deeply rooted in love. Well, that root that goes down and the roots that go out, they supply not only nutrients for that plant, but they supply stability and strength. That's why you see these giant old sequoias and these giant old oak trees. How long are those roots on those sequoia trees to support a tree like that? The roots are probably just as long as the tree is, more than likely. But they're going down, down, down. And that's what we need to do. We need to be rooted so deep in love that there's no way we can be rooted out.
Amen.
That's what the Word wants. That's what God wants us to be. The deeper we're rooted in love, the stronger we are, the more nourished we are by the Word. So this is absolutely vital to our understanding. They will not fear when heat comes. They don't have to fear the heat, but its leaf will be green. Why? Because it's got the roots down there. It's got a source of nutrients and water that's not around here on the surface anywhere. And will not be anxious in the year of drought. You know, there's droughts in everybody's life.
Yeah.
Things happen in our life. There's things where you lose your job or things turn quickly and you're not prepared for them. You've got, you've made plans for your money for years and you've been planning on using the money that's ahead to pay your bills for today. It's called borrowing. And it's called loans. And you're using that money to get whatever you need in this life today. But something happens. Unpredicted. You have your bills all set up to where your money will cover that comes in. But suddenly, something happens that it's not there in the way it was before. You're going through a drought. Now, that might be a drought of sickness. It may be a drought of disease. It may be a drought of family issues and problems. But the drought lines up with problems, issues in life. So when our roots are deep in love, though, that drought does not affect us. Now, to a degree, it does, but we're well supplied.
Amen.
We don't have to be in fear and anxious about the things that are coming our way because we're deeply rooted in love. We're deeply rooted in the Word. We're deeply rooted in our faith. We're going to take a look at, I don't have time, I'd really want to, but in Mark 4, 13 through 20, Matthew 13, 18 through 20, and Luke 8, 11 through 15, Jesus talks about the sower sows the word. And it talks about the what happens to the seed. The seed is exactly the same, but the root and the rocks are not. The soil's not. The conditions of the soil and the water and all that's not the same. But the seed is the same in every circumstance. For the sake of time, we're just going to read this quickly and point out a few things and then move on. We're going to look at Mark 13. Now, all of these are closely related, but there's little different things in each one that brings out something a little more in detail. So,
Mark 4:13.
Mark 4, 13 through 20.
Yeah.
And as you make your study, take time to study this in detail. If you have an Amplified Bible, be sure to use it. If not, the others are fine. They're just not as detailed. But study the three and compare them and look at them because they're all saying a little something different that enhances our understanding. But we're going to look at verse 13 that normally it's 14 through 20. But he says something in verse 13 that is vital for us to see. And now picture this. Jesus has had a big crowd around and he's delivered the parable of the sower sows the word. He's delivered that to the group, but he did not explain it. He just said the parable, and he does that a lot. And then when they are alone, the disciples wanted to know what he's talking about. He said, can you explain this to us? And look at what Jesus says in response to that in verse 13, to their request. And he said to them, do you not discern and understand this parable? In other words, when he said that, he said, you're supposed to understand this. That's really what he's saying is, why don't you understand this parable? You should. He didn't expect the other people to understand it, but he expected his disciples to understand it. And he said to them, do you not discern and understand this parable? How then is it possible for you to discern and understand all of the parables? That is a very, very deep statement. What did he say? He said, if you don't understand this parable, you cannot understand any of the others. This is the parable of parables here. What he's talking about is sowing and reaping. And that's a principle that God laid out when he first said, light be. It is a kingdom principle that covers every single area of life. And that's what he's talking about here. But the parable is talking also not just to make it a parable to understand others, but it has specific meanings in it telling us how we are to sow, what we are to do with this seed, and the word is the seed. Let's look at verse 14. The sower sows the word. So we automatically know that what we're sowing is the word of God. That's the seed that's going into the soil. Verse 15, the ones along the path are those who have the word sown in their hearts. But when they hear, Satan comes at once and by force takes away the message which was sown in them. Now that particular one there is just walking along, the seed just falls on the path, and Satan comes and word says, some says steals it, some says takes it. But actually, he's not after the word. He's after you getting the word. He's preventing you from receiving this word. That's what he's doing. So it's like they throw something on the ground and somebody grabs it real quickly before you can pick it up. He can't do anything with the word. It's of no value to him. It's no value to Satan at all. He doesn't want you to get that word. He's moving you away from it. So he gets it out of your path before you can even get it because you're not interested in it. You let it lay there too long. You didn't do anything with it because, frankly, you're not interested. You're just not interested in those Christian things. What about them? Oh, the Bible, it's antiquated. So the word didn't do you any good because you never received it. Now that seed still has all of its life in there. Well, let's look at the next group. This is the next group, verse 16. And in the same way, the ones sown upon stony ground are those who, when they hear the word, at once receive and accept and welcome it with joy. Now these actually listen. They heard. They said, wow, I've never heard anything like that before. I like this. You know, and they received it. But look at what happens. Notice the soil. The soil is stony ground. Now there's some soil there. There's some dirt around these rocks. But basically it's gravel, sand, things. There's no real base in the soil. The only soil there is between the rocks and maybe deep down under it. But how many of you know that seed has to have soil around it before the root system can go down to where the actual soil is? So what happens here is the seed bakes. It cannot do its job. It can never actually get rooted. So, and the, verse 16 again, and in the same way, the ones sown upon the stony ground are those who, when they hear the word, at once receive and accept and welcome it with joy. And they have no real root in themselves. See, there it is. They have no real root. If you're not rooted in love, and you have no real root in the Word of God, no root in faith, you're not walking in love, you're not doing anything with your love walk, you're not setting your love upon God, you're going to wither. You're going to do exactly what this says here. And verse 17, and they have no real root in themselves, and so they endure for a little while. Then, when trouble or persecution arises on account of the Word, they immediately are offended, become displeased, indignant, resentful, and they stumble and fall away. Because they were not rooted. No root system, no soil, no nourishment. And verse 18, and the ones, so far we've got three here, don't we? There's actually four. And the ones sown among the thorns are those others who hear the word. Now they're the same as the second one. They heard the word. And they probably received it with joy. Then, down the pathway here, they're full of joy. They like this thing. Then, the cares and anxieties of the world and the distractions of the age and the pleasure and delight of false glamour and deceitfulness of riches and the craving and passionate desire for other things creep in, it doesn't rush in, it creeps in, little at a time, and choke and suffocate the word, and it becomes fruitless. See, this word was sown in good ground. This seed was sown in proper ground. It's not thorny. It just got thorns and thistles, which are the cares and distractions and deceitfulness of riches. Not riches, the deceitfulness of them. The lust of other things, the cares of this world. All of these things are the thorns and the weeds around this seed. They're sucking up the nourishment. They're taking away from this seed that is trying to root in this good soil. So it can't. So the person, when he focuses on these things in his life, the person makes a decision and he's no longer rooted. He withers and dies because of the decision that he makes. Not because there's a weakness in the word, but because the person does not make right decisions. He does not become rooted in the soil. He allows these things around him. Now, a good gardener will remove those weeds and thorns. A good gardener will prepare the ground before he puts his seed in. Make it nice and clean so there are no thorns and thistles and weeds. He removes them. The soil's prepared. Now the seed goes in and it does what verse 20 says. And those sown on the good ground, the well-adapted, it's adapted for the seed, the well-adapted soil, and the ones who are the ones who hear the word and receive and accept and welcome it and become and bear fruit, some 30 times as much and some as was sown, some 60 times as much, and some even 100 times as much. So the condition of the soil and my root system determines the yield. The deeper and the more firmly I'm rooted in love, the stronger my yield is. These other things on these other three types of ground took away from the seed. But the seed in and of itself has everything it needs to bring itself to pass. Mm-hmm. It's not a seed problem. It's a soil and a rooting problem. And it's the same with us today. The depths of our being rooted in love, faith, and the Word determines our yield. And that's not a God problem. That's our problem. That's, we do this. Amen. We hinder the seed. We're the ones that's not deeply rooted in love, or in the Word, or in faith. Actually, when you say deeply rooted in love, you automatically say you're deeply rooted in faith and deeply rooted in the Word. Because you cannot be deeply rooted in the Word or deeply rooted in your faith without being deeply rooted in love.
Amen.
It's not possible to have your be rooted in those two or one of those two and not be rooted in the other ones. Love is the absolute point of origin. It is the priority in your life. If you're not rooted in love, your soil is not going to be well adapted. Your seed's not going to bear fruit. Your faith is not going to work. So there's your problem right now. There's why your things are not working in your life, because you're not rooted in love. You'll go and work with the problem, but not with the actual issue. Yes, Mother?
Well, I was thinking when you said, like, the ones that fell on the rocky ground with no root, it's impossible to stand, therefore, without roots.
You can't. You cannot stand. You have nothing to hold you. You're in sand.
Mm-hmm.
If you're standing on sandy ground, you cannot stand. You're going to be pushed. You're going to be moved. But on solid, well-prepared ground, you're going to be able to stand. That's what that root system's for. Not only nourishment, but puts you in a place where you can stand. So we see here the difference between the different soils, the difference between the way it's prepared, and everything. That's what I do. That's what we do ourselves. But do you notice that there's a difference here also between being carnally minded and spiritually minded?
Yes.
All three types of soil, all three, other than the last one, were all carnally minded,
mm-hmm.
fleshly minded. And what is that? Romans 8 tells us to be carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. If you're not rooted in love, you cannot be spiritually minded. It's an absolute impossibility. Because that's what being spiritually minded is. You cannot be any other way. And to the degree that you're spiritually minded, that's the degree of your harvest. 30, 60, or 100. The more spiritually minded you are, the more you walk in love, the more you're deeply rooted in love, the stronger your yield. You determine that. You determine how strong your yield is. God does not. And the seed doesn't determine that. I do. Okay, now, 1 Corinthians 13, we're just going to look at two verses here real quickly. Because it's talking about what I'm saying about being rooted and established. 1 Corinthians 13:7 and 8a. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes. Is ever ready to believe the best of every person. Its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances. And it endures everything without weakening. Love never fails. Never fades out, becomes obsolete, or comes to an end. I didn't go through the whole love walk because we're going to come back later in a future message. But in those couple of verses, we see that it bears up under anything and everything. Love is the strongest, strongest thing in all of creation. Love is it.
Because it's God.
It's because it's God. There's nothing stronger than love. Love will never fail. It cannot be overcome. Well, they'll walk all over me. No, they won't. They can't walk over Jesus. They can't walk over the Word. They can't walk over your faith. Now, they can try and look like there's problems, but even if you die, where you go? There's no way to stop love. There's nothing The end of Romans 8, there's nothing that can keep you from the love of God. Nothing. That's your choice. You're the only one. You're the only one that can determine how deep and strong your love walk is. You're the only one. If love fails, you did it, not God and not love. You moved away from love. You've been deceived. Satan has successfully moved you away. You allowed those things that we listed there to make you carnally minded. You accepted them. You walked in them. They were pulled you away. But it's not a love problem. It's a carnally minded problem. Love never changes. Love never fails. The seed of the word never fails. God never fails. If it doesn't work, it's a me problem, not a God problem. And no matter how big the circumstances are, they cannot determine whether it's strong enough for you or not. It will work. The word works. Plain and simple. The word works. But it works by love. So it never fails, becomes obsolete, fades out, or comes to an end. We're going to look at two scriptures real quickly. Describing roots. Psalm 1, 1 through 3. This is a New King James. I was going to use the Amplified, but for the sake of time, I'll use this one. Blessed is the man who walks not, or he doesn't walk here. He doesn't live this way. Walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. So he's not carnally minded. He's not allowing the things of this world to determine how he behaves. But, verse 2, his delight is in the law, or in the word, in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. So what's he doing? He's rooting himself. He's on purpose putting himself into the word, and he delights in it. It brings joy. It's not a chore for this man. He's separated himself from these other things that will move him away, and he's getting deeply rooted in the law, in the word. He's rooting himself in love. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. This person is not carnally minded or fleshly minded. He is spiritually minded or love minded. Now let's look at Psalm 92, verse 12. This is the Amplified Classic. The uncompromisingly righteous shall flourish. Now, I like to look at the little phrases within verses. Notice, the uncompromisingly righteous. In other words, this person doesn't compromise. He's deeply rooted. He's a word man. And he's going with God.
Amen.
He's walking in love no matter what happens around him. He's uncompromising. The uncompromisingly righteous shall flourish. Shall means you will. It's not a maybe. It's not where is it at. It's a shall. It's an absolute term. Absolute. Shall flourish like the palm tree. Now the Amplified Bible describes why they're using the palm tree here. Be long-lived, stately, upright, useful, and fruitful. They shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon, majestic, stable, durable, and incorruptible. Planted in the house of the Lord, they shall flourish in the courts of our God. Growing in grace, they shall bring forth fruit in old age, and I like that one. They shall be full of sap, or spiritual vitality, and rich in verdure.
Verdure.
Of trust, love, and contentment. They are living memorials to show that the Lord is upright and faithful to his promises. He is a rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him.
Amen.
So this person is deeply rooted. I use Esort, and they had a little note over to the side on the palm tree and the cedar tree, so I'm going to quickly read these. And I've got a guy's name there, but I couldn't pronounce it, so I'm not even going to try. But it says, the palm tree. The noble and beautiful palm tree affords an agreeable shade. Its fruit makes a great part of the diet of the East. the stones or the seeds, the stones of which are ground for camels. The leaves are made into couches, baskets, etc. Its brows is into fences, the fibers of the brows into ropes, and the rigging of the small vessels. Its sap into arak. I don't know what that is, arak, or A-R-R-A-C-K. I didn't have time to look it up. But it's made into that. And its wood serves for lighter buildings and firewood. William K. notes that the date palm grows in the desert, in places where no other tree is found, and bears their most bounteous fruits, crops of fruit, a symbol of life triumphing over death. The cedar tree, William K. notes that the cedar tree is a type of the majestic. By both its longevity and antiseptic quality of its wood, fit it to stand as a symbol of immortality. Both the cedar and the palm had sacred associations, the temple being lined throughout with cedar, 1 Kings 6:10-18, and the walls of most of the holy place having cherubim and palms carved in upon them, 1 Kings 4:33. There's another name I can't pronounce, so I'm not going to try. Describes the cedar of Lebanon. The cedar grows on the most elevated part of the mountain, is taller than the pine, and so thick that five men together could scarcely fathom one. It shoots out its branches at 10 or 12 feet from the ground. They are large and distant from each other and are perpetually green. The wood is of a brown color, very solid and incorruptible if preserved from wet. The trees bear a small cone like that of a pine. Now, man, five men could not encompass the trunk of this tree. Can you see that? When they talk about talking about these palms and cedars, there's a reason they're using those here. And this is what the uncompromisingly righteous, or the person rooted in love, is going to be like. Now let's go to Colossians chapter 2 and verse 7. Have the roots of your being firmly and deeply planted in Him, fixed and founded in Him. You're founded in Him, you're founded in love. Being continually built up in Him, becoming increasingly more confirmed and established in the faith, just as you were taught, and abounding and overflowing in it with thanksgiving. Love is the fuel source. Love is the fuel source. Let's go to Galatians chapter 6, chapter 5, and verse 6. Let him who... Well, that's not it. Galatians chapter 5, I'm in verse chapter 6. That makes a difference. Okay. Galatians chapter 5, verse 6, and this Amplified Classic again. For if we are in Christ, and we're in Christ if we're born again, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, or the law, but only faith, activated and energized and expressed and working through love. So here we see love activating faith, energizing faith, and expressed and working through faith, or through love. So love is 100% involved in our ability to walk in faith.
Amen.
100%. Love activates our faith. Love energizes our faith. And love expresses and works our faith. Now, John chapter 15, I'm probably have to stop here. This is such an awesome subject, and each one of these needs to be a series on itself. But John chapter 15, verse 4. Now remember, we're talking about being rooted deep in love. And Jesus here is a few hours from the cross. And he's telling them, you've got to love one another. So I'm going to make it a commandment. You love one another. So let's look at verse 4. Dwell in me and I will dwell in you. Live in me, and I will live in you. Just as no branch can bear fruit of itself without abiding in, being vitally united to the vine, neither can you bear fruit unless you abide in me. Now, who is Jesus? Jesus is the living Word. Jesus is part of the Godhead. God is love. God the Son is love. God the Son, Jesus, the living Word is love. God the Holy Spirit is love. They're love, period. So he's saying, if you abide in love, that's what he's saying here. Dwell in love. Take the me and put love there, because Jesus is love, God is love, Holy Spirit's love. So he said, dwell in love, and I will dwell in you. Live in love, and I will live in you. Just as no branch can bear fruit of itself without abiding in, being vitally united to the vine, neither can you bear fruit unless you abide in love.
Amen.
I am the vine, you are the branches. Or love is the vine. Whoever lives in love and love in him bears much abundant fruit. However, apart from love, cut off from being vital union with love, you can do nothing.
Amen.
So you can take the word me there, or I, when Jesus is talking, and put love right in there, because he is love. So see how important it is that we're deeply rooted in love. There is nothing more important in your walk in this life than being deeply rooted in love. Nothing. It will take care of all of the other issues in life. If a person does not dwell in me or dwell in love, he is thrown out like a broken off branch and withers. Some branches are gathered up and thrown into the fire, and they are burned. If you live in me or love, abide vitally united to me, love, and my words remain in you and continue to live in your hearts, ask whatever you will, and it shall be done for you. So see, love is directly related to our prayer life. Love is directly related to every single thing we desire and want in this life. Now, if our will is being conformed to his will, then his will is our will.
Amen.
So we're not going to desire things that are carnal. We're not going to be there.
Amen.
We're not going to be carnally minded. We're going to be spiritually minded. So we're going to want what God wants.
Amen.
We're going to want his will, his way. And that's what we're going to be asking for. And that's what he's going to bring to pass in our life. Verse 8. When you bear, produce much fruit. Or what is the fruit? Love is the fruit. When you bear and produce much fruit, my Father is honored and glorified, and you show and prove yourselves to be true followers of mine. I have loved you just as the Father has loved me. Abide in my love. Continue in his love with me. If you keep my commandments, if you continue to obey my instructions, you will abide in my love and live on in it, just as I have obeyed my Father's commandments and live on in his love.
Amen.
There is absolutely nothing, bar nothing, more important than your love walk. Nothing. Nothing. So I highly encourage you to be rooted deep in love. Start looking at your ways. Start looking at the difference between walking in love and walking carnally minded. Start paying attention to your motives behind the things that you do. It won't be comfortable for a while, but you know, the deeper your roots go, the easier it is. You get to the place where, instead of habitually flying off the handle, habitually making decisions based on your own lust and desires, you'll start thinking God's thoughts. You'll start being, and last week we talked on his ways. Your ways will become his ways.
Amen.
Or his ways will become your ways.
Amen.
His ways will become your ways, because you're setting your love upon him. And as you do that, the decisions become easier. You won't have to struggle with loving that guy that's hating you. You'll start thinking the best of that person and wind up making excuses for him. You'll know that he's being deceived. He doesn't know what he's doing. He has no idea. Yes, he did. He did that on purpose. Well, he may have done it physically on purpose. But he's still deceived. Because he doesn't know God. And if he does know God, he's not walking with him. He's not rooted in love. He's responding based on carnal nature. And that's not what we're supposed to be. That's abnormal for a Christian. A genuine, born-again Christian loves God. And he loves God's children.
Amen.
And he makes, even though it's difficult at the time, he makes sure he loves his brothers and sisters. Otherwise, he becomes carnally minded and it blocks the flow. And we don't understand how important this is. We think it's just another subject. It's not. It is the subject. The subject. There is none more important.
Amen.
Well, Father, we thank you for this time and your word today. We thank you for continuing to bring revelation to us of who you are and who we really are. Because the word says, as he is, so are we in this world. We are vessels of love. We're born of love for love. And Father, we're so thankful. So very, very thankful. We look forward to the services that lie ahead here in a few minutes in our main service. Those on Facebook, we ask you to join us for our main service here at 10 o'clock. And we bless you. Thank you for joining us today. In Jesus' name,
amen.
Amen.
Amen.